You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, different guests and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of You Talking to Me on the All Talk Radio Network. Today, we're going to be discussing some local issues around the Windsor, Ontario, Canada area. Windsor's traditional economy versus contemporary changes, university, college, and business schools in the area, and some employment issues, inclusive of resume styles and job searches for those people that are looking for work around this particular time. And hopefully there'll be lots of information here for you to take in and possibly use to your advantage. And today, discussing these topics with me, your host, Big JD, is Mike Downs from Windsor.
Hi, Jeff. How are you? Thanks
Good.
For having me.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, Mike. And Mike's not a stranger to the employment situation in Windsor, the education system in Windsor. And what is your background as far as education?
I got a master's degree in sociology from the University of Windsor. My bachelor's degree was sociology and criminology from the University of Windsor. And I also went to St. Clair College.
Is that considered a double major, or is there a term for that?
Yeah, that's a double major. Probably sociology and anthropology at the University of Windsor is in the same department. So yeah, I probably could have had a minor in anthropology or psychology. But
a third area of degree.
Yeah, what's interesting in that is I couldn't find a job actually with just the degree alone. So I ended up going to St. Clair College and actually going for a certificate in human resources as well. So
you kind of spread around with other types of education as far as degree, diploma, papers, certificates, whatever.
Yeah. I was just trying to make my resume more competitive. And it seems to be actually when you go to the St. Clair College, I actually found out that it was more common than you think, that a lot of university students were finishing at the university and then compiling the college diploma along with it. Mm-hmm. Because it makes you more competitive, and people don't see yourself as like a brainiac or, you know, an egghead.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you have more applied skills at the college. Mm-hmm. You know, they do a lot of like hands-on things.
Yeah. That's pretty good. And, as well, there's are some cases, I suppose, like you'd have to go for other types of education, like teacher's college, to continue on in a certain specific area.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That I'm currently applied for Wayne State in Detroit, Michigan, actually for a teacher's college.
And you've actually got some personal stories that we can get into later with the local teacher's college as well. Like,
it's some
good information for listeners.
Yeah, it's highly competitive to get in there.
Yeah.
They seem to keep changing the requirements because of the competitive level. Actually, getting back to my undergrad, criminology at one point, you didn't need a certain grade point average to get into the discipline. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I finished it up, you had to actually have a grade point average of like an 8.0 or something like that, which is like an A minus or something.
Was that while you were still going, or?
Well, I took sociology, but I enjoyed criminology too. And then at one point, criminology had a grade point average and I didn't have it. And then I kept upgrading or whatever and, you know, updating classes. I ended up getting the grade point average at that point.
Right.
But then by the time I got it, I didn't even care anymore. Because there's a difference between an honors degree and a general BA. BA is 3-year bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. Honors degree is another 4 years, and it's looks better on a resume, you know. Usually a better student, you know, they got better grades.
It's lots of education, for sure. Well, we'll get back into education shortly, but let's discuss a little bit about the local economy, actually, in your area, your city. And do you have an opinion on the economy in general at this point?
Well, as you are well aware, and a lot of the viewers listeners, Windsor's economy obviously isn't very good at all. It's actually one of the lowest, highest unemployment rates in Canada currently. Mm-hmm. We can get into the statistics later if you want.
Yeah, we'll come into that in a little bit. And does that affect you directly?
Yeah, of course.
How do you find it?
The assumption was, like, I don't know if you remember in high school, basically you either went the academic road or you went the trades road.
I don't remember high school at all.
But basically at the time they were actually pushing a lot of
just for the record, because of how long ago it was. No, go on.
No, that's okay. It's just years ago, The trades didn't seem to be as very, very good at getting jobs at that point.
Right.
So they told people to get into the academic field. But you basically, you thought to yourself, you know, you're going to be guaranteed a job as long as you went to a university and got a degree or college and got a diploma. And it didn't seem to be the situation because the economy was so bad in the early 90s. And it seems to be getting worse.
Are you aware of any plans, especially locally, that Windsor may implement in changing our local economy?
Well, it's interesting. Is I remember being in like grade 13 in high school. And they would talk about how the economy is changing from like a manufacturing sector to like a tertiary, which is like a third sector, is basically service industry, which is going on right now currently. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the jobs that are, you know, Windsor's been kind of spoiled. We had a lot of manufacturing jobs and you didn't need a lot of education. And so it's changing, like the high paying manufacturing jobs, like the big three and a lot of the little feeder plants and tool and die industry. A lot of those are being changed or leaving the country, you know, to go to China and a lot of these other countries. And, they're being replaced with service jobs. Like currently there's a lot of like call centers coming into Windsor right now. They're sponsored by the local government and they've gotten grants to come here and things like that. Like from the government of Canada and government of Windsor. A lot of these companies, they're trying to draw companies into the city.
And I guess overall that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But like I said, they're not replacing the high paying jobs with a high paying job. Again, the significant reduction in wage. And so it's less than half, you know.
Right. I guess gets a lot of people off their behinds, though, and gives them an opportunity to get out into the working field, the workforce, maybe get some of the people like even off of welfare and stuff. Because I know when the casino opened, you know, created a lot of jobs for people that to get off of. And it was, what's funny about it is the rate of pay that they were able to get getting into the casino with maybe like one of their first jobs or something like that. That's pretty incredible. And if you knew some people personally or anything that got into the casino, it was funny to see some of their attitudes change as far as getting a job or making that kind of money and how they reacted to, you know, getting knocked into making, you know, $35, $40 an hour. Meanwhile, they sat in their asses for the last however many years.
Oh, it's interesting that you say that. A lot of these call centers are actually hiring people, you know, that are normally on unemployment or welfare, and they're actually, I think the government's actually paying for a percentage of their wage for a current, you know, a period of time. And it's interesting that you see, and, you know, I mean, it is in the good interest of the city, you know, for people that are on unemployment or on welfare to actually get educated, because a lot of these companies are training people.
Right.
And it's all technological stuff, and it's actually making them more competitive to get a job. However, there's no jobs here, so it's kind of,
yeah,
catch 20, whatever.
Not a hugely competitive market as far as places even opening up for employment or anything like that, but in fact, I think Windsor's lost any other employment centers they've had down to just the one. Right, there was a West End employment center, and then
Unemployment Canada, the facilities themselves. Well, what happens
when the last one closes? What are we going
to
do now?
Well, the reason they did that is because if you talk to anyone from Service Canada, is the reason is that you can apply for unemployment on the internet, but the problem is they assume that everyone's got a computer, right? I mean, what's the percentage of people in Windsor and a lot of cities that have internet access? I think I read in the Stats Canada one time, the percentage of people that have computers at home is only still like in the 20% and they're lower.
And when you talk to people, it's like everyone's got a computer, everybody's got an email address, everybody's got like, you know, websites or shops online, yet the percentage is still not high.
Yeah. And a lot of these people that actually, you know, apply for unemployment, they're actually the people that don't have computers. So they have to go to a, you know, like local library. That's what they suggest that Unemployment Canada. I think it's actually kind of washing people under the, I don't know. I don't think it's very good. Under the floorboards, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
Like they're at the lower end of society and they're trying to get a job. Meanwhile, the ability to get a job is difficult because the situation they create, you know, like it's a...
Even for the well-educated.
Right. It's interesting that I'm not going to mention any names, but I currently worked at a call center, and the education level at the call center was unbelievable. It was actually
unbelievably
sad.
Low.
No,
or high.
Unbelievably high.
Okay. Was it mixed though? I mean, is there a lot of
there was
lot
a mix too.
Well,
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, kids that came out of high school. I call them kids, but they came out of high school, and then, you know, this is their first job, and they're actually loving it, right? Because they're getting trained to work with computers, and, you know, they're getting actually good money.
Right.
But there was actually a lot of people, and I started consider. Pardon me. I didn't mean to interrupt there. No, but I started thinking to myself, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong discipline or something like that. Maybe that's why I'm unemployed. But when you're sitting beside people and they got a master's degree in engineering and the other guy's got computer science, you know, it doesn't seem to be the discipline. That's just the unemployment rate so high in Windsor.
And later we'll get a little bit into your unemployment situation because you're incredibly well educated. And I find that kind of an incredible story on its own. And we're going to take a break right now. We'll pick up from there when we get back. Okay, we're back. And talking to Mike Downs here today on Big JD's You Talking to Me radio program on the All Talk Radio Network. And we were discussing a local economy at this point. And how about as a province or Canada-wide even? Where's Windsor fit in as far as economy?
Actually, there was an article a couple weeks ago that was saying Windsor's got one of the highest unemployment rates. It's actually above the average. I don't know if you want to get into statistics already, Aaron.
Well, yeah, we certainly can.
Okay, we can get into the stats if you want.
Yeah, what kind of stats have you got on?
Well, I went on HRDC's website today, actually. Mm-hmm. We're in May 2007, and unemployment rate in Canada is 6.1%.
Mm-hmm.
And Ontario is at
6.3%.
Mm-hmm. Windsor, Ontario is... back in the year 2000 was at 5.4,
mm-hmm.
and it's currently at 9.0%.
9.0% unemployment rate.
Yeah, above the national average. So
it's, wow,
unemployment rate's pretty high.
Is are you aware of an all time high
for Windsor? I'm not sure.
For
I mean, I learned that stuff in school. That's the thing we can probably get into a little bit is actually. Most people go to university and they take like biology or chemistry and stuff like that. You know, they learn about their discipline. Actually, in sociology, you learn about social issues. So you're actually aware that you're not going to be able to get a job when you finish.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to get into some of that stuff with the education thing. And we can start on education actually. And how about the demand? What's the demand like for education in this area? I mean, there's a college and there's a university here.
Right.
And
did you want me to explain that there's a university and a college, or is that, would you like to get into?
Explain what the difference between a university and a college?
Yeah, like,
sure.
Okay, well, obviously, a university actually has a degree, you know, it's a 3-year program, or they have when it honors, it's usually a 4-year program,
right?
Depending on your discipline. And at the college, it's 2, sometimes 3-year diplomas.
Nope.
And mm-hmm. on the university, a degree is sometimes it's considered a higher form of education, it's more like theory and stuff like that, whereas at the college, it's more hands on. I mean, it used to be like a rumor or something that you heard, but it's actually, I've experienced both, and I'm, you know, firsthand, I can say that it's true. Like, some things at the college actually is more job related. So I think that's why sometimes they actually get a job before somebody from university, because
a little more experience actually kind of in the field sort of thing, hands
on. Like, they don't want to have, a lot of companies don't want to teach the skills. They don't have either the time or the money to teach a lot of these skills. So they like people that have the hands on.
Right, yeah.
And I think me and you had a discussion before, and I was explaining to you that's why a lot of the business colleges are growing in popularity, because they actually teach hands-on, you know, actual skills.
Right, yeah. That's something I wanted to ask you about as well, was some of those business colleges and some of the smaller schools. Not always all the courses are business-related, but what's really the difference of getting like a certificate there as opposed to maybe going to the college, or is there really no difference as far as, I mean, if you're not after the diploma certificate wise, or is it the name?
You know, it seems a lot of people, like if you go to the university, like for example, if you take nursing, you end up being what's an RN or, you know, registered nurse.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference between their pay and that person that takes as a practical nurse from St. Clair College.
Mm-hmm.
And actually somebody that takes nursing at these little business schools, because there's a difference, they actually be more like an assistant,
a secretary, or a
like
work from home nurse.
Yeah, like it's kind of deceiving. If you go inside the business schools and you actually see what they offer, it's actually like they have like medical assistant or dental assistant,
right?
And they'll also have
that's what you usually see, especially like the commercials on TV.
Yeah,
you know, I was on welfare, now I'm a dental assistant.
Yeah, like you can't be a lawyer from one of those places. You'd be
right?
Like you work for a lawyer probably as a legal assistant or something like that.
Or I'd imagine some areas of work might send you to one of those places for a particular course maybe or something.
Yeah, like they do have the business schools, they have not as advanced as the college. They would teach like Microsoft Office or something like that, but they don't only teach like maybe Word or PowerPoint. They wouldn't get into the heavy stuff.
Are there some, like as far as college and university, are some of the courses, would they be basically like this? You say at the college you learn maybe more hands-on, and at university, it'd be more of a theory type thing. But when you're finished, would it be like a similar outcome as far as like the education part is concerned, like for a job?
Well, it's interesting. Like, the best example I found was when I was working at the call center. There was actually guys that I was working with, and they would have a computer science degree from the University of Windsor, right? And you think they would know a lot about the technical part of Windows, and they actually, it's more theory. They actually know about, you know, the bytes and the bits and, like when, if you have a guy that takes networking at university and you have a guy that takes networking at St. Clair College, the guy at the college is more hands-on, you know, he knows what types of wires to use and things like that. And the guys at the university, that's more about theory, you know, what type of wires should we use and how fast can it be? And I don't know, it's hard to explain.
So, and also like the name, as far as going to a college as opposed to a university, to how do employers, like, you know, potential employer kind of look at somebody who's come from university or college? Is there a huge difference in the way they, you know, perceive somebody that's come from one or the other?
Yeah, it depends. Like, you would, like in the past, it would look down on someone that actually came from a college rather than a university, but the colleges are actually making a pretty good comeback, I think. And because I think a lot of it's because they teach those hand on skills, you know, stuff that they'll actually use in the work environment. And actually, the local college, if you go there and take some courses, you can actually transfer it to a degree at the university, because St. Clair College and University of Windsor actually have a joint thing.
That's
going
something
on right
I
now.
Wanted to ask you about, that you can continue your education at the university from after college.
Yeah, like at a certain point, a person taking practical nursing at St. Clair College can actually go to University of Windsor and continue if they want to go for an RN rather than a practical nurse.
So why would there be, like, the two schools? Why did that ever exist, a college and a university? Why, if there was just one particular school named university, say, and you went for your 3 or 4 year course that was similar to a college course and then maybe continued on for, you know, the degree?
Well,
as far as
originally there was a difference is because like we were saying before, in high school, you know, you there was two different routes. You just went toward the trades or you went towards academic. University was always academic, right? They weren't actually teaching you stuff that you needed in the field. It was more theoretical.
They try and
teach you the skills that you would need as an adult, you know, how to time management and things like that. They might not actually teach the actual skills, right? St. Clair College, they might actually teach you how to use Microsoft Word or
PowerPoint. Again, it's back to that kind of hands-on thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of curious off the top of my head why they wouldn't you know, sort of do that type of education, and then, you know, you continue on with the rest. But then I guess school just lasts pretty much forever. If you had to.
Well, they're trying to get, that's why the university and the college in Windsor actually, I think it's pretty much the one in Ontario or Canada that actually is doing that. They actually have a joint thing going on. I think they're trying to get more well-rounded, you know, individuals. But it, like I said before, with the economy, it doesn't seem to matter right now, the competitiveness. One thing I wanted to point out, though, is I wish I would have went back to school in my head, because co-op seems to be really important for making work experience and job connections, you know, networking, things like that, finding people to find a job. Whereas, I don't know, if you just go through university and college without actually ever doing a co-op or, you know, getting out in the field and seeing what, you know, hands-on, things like that. I don't know, the co-op seems to be a really good program. I used to think that, you know, that's a joke.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. And I remember they even in high school, a lot of times they'd have those kind of
I know, when I was in high school, I just looked at it as a way of people trying to get out of doing their schoolwork or going out, getting out of class. It depends what it is. I mean, if it ends up being something you're working towards, it's actually really a good program.
Yeah, if you know early on in life what you want to do and it's, you know, it pertains to that, I guess that would be great. But it's not a heck of a lot of people that know what they want to be really early on in their education.
The difference between that's another thing that's a good difference between the college and the university that I think that the college is beating them is that the college actually will try and go out and get co-ops and make connections, and they'll actually try and push their students to get jobs after college, whereas university, they leave it up to you.
Yeah. They're too busy for that.
Yeah, it's
too big time.
I don't know. They don't seem to teach you the skills that you need. You know what I mean? Like, they do have like workshops on campus, you know, like for how to do a resume and things like that.
Right.
Most university students don't have time. They got their own schoolwork to worry about, that kind of stuff. It should actually be part of the curriculum as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. The whole job placement thing.
Right. Like me and you were talking before about business colleges. Business colleges, there's a couple in Windsor. I don't want to mention their names or anything, but you'll go in there and they'll have a wall and they'll have their success rate.
Right, yeah.
And they'll say like it's 90% or something like that. But, you know, I don't mean to crack on them, but a lot of them are really well-paying jobs. Like somebody will go there and take law and security or some security program and they'll end up working for a security company.
Yeah, but of course they have to advertise anything they can because that's their part of their competition, you know, the advertisement of their success rate, no matter what it is.
They're compete with the university and the college, and they're not going to get as, you know, many people coming here, obviously.
Yeah. I guess any job's a good job for most, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all good. That's the other thing I wanted to tell you about, too, other than the co-ops, I kind of got off track there, was work experience. One of the biggest things, even with my education, when you do get an interview, is to say what kind of work experience you have. And a lot of it, you know, university and college students, they work in the service industry while they're going to school, so they really don't get that work experience. So that's why I think co-op is so important, because you're actually getting the work in the field, you know, and then usually you make networks. Like, I have a sister-in-law that worked at the college, and she worked co-op while she was going to the school, and then she ended up with a full-time job maybe 5-6 years later within the same company.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Co-op's definitely a good idea. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back. Okay, we were talking about co-op, type of employment, sort of. Some paying, some non-paying?
Usually it's non-paying if you're doing it mm-hmm. through the school. It's a good way of, like, I think the reason, one of the main reasons they have it is you get inside the field and you see whether you want to do it for or not. Like, a lot of these in teachers' colleges in Windsor, they'll make you do, like, volunteer work within the school system. They just want to see if you, you know, do I really want to do this the rest of my life?
Right.
You know, rather than going through all the whole process of getting an education and going to get a job and saying, no, this isn't for me. So that's another reason why they do that, too.
I wonder how many, what the percentage is like of people that change their minds once they
I had a cousin that did it, actually. She was halfway through teacher's college, and she started doing that. And she's a very nervous person, and she likes kids, but mm-hmm. she said, this just isn't for me. And she ended up going to get a job in another field, which is bizarre to me.
Wow.
Because there's so many people that are trying to get into teacher's college, and they can't get in. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I think that's great that they actually do that. So basically, it's the same situation at the college and the universities where they do co-ops. Mm-hmm. More or less the college, not the university as much. But that one place at the university that they do that is the teacher's college.
Hey folks, Big JD here. Just wanted to let you know about my new talk show on the All Talk Radio Network. A different guest, a different topic every week. You can visit my website for more information, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Yeah, the co-ops always, to me, seem to be more of a college type of thing, or... And college always seemed to be more a continuation of high school as opposed to university. It always has this, I don't know if it's a mystique, but, you know, some kind of a persona type thing about it that makes it seem a lot different than, you know, the high school, college thing.
Well, I went to both, and university, the workload is a lot better. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a difference in education that you're coming up with.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's probably why that colleges were always looked down on, because, you know, you could go there as an adult student and get the same thing. But at the university, I mean, if you go there, they actually accept people that are adult students now, so they're actually not high and mighty anymore either.
Yeah, there always seemed to be this this thought, you know, that you're going to college and it just doesn't seem like it's the real thing, you know? It's maybe for people that don't have the money to go to university.
Well, this is kind of a funny story.
The smarts.
When I took human resources, I was in a class, and a lot of the students, you know, it's continuing education, so it's a lot of adult students.
Right.
So one of the first things that blew my mind was somebody actually had the nerve to ask the professor or instructor, are we having an open book exam? And I had to spin my head and go, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, open book exams.
I just made the university, I mean, the college part, and their education and the whole discipline just seemed totally useless to me at that point. But I ended up taking other classes, and some of them didn't have open book exams. So it made me realize, when I was actually working as a teacher assistant at the university when I was doing my master's, and I had students come up to you and challenge their marks, and it just blew my mind. They think just because they're paying a certain percent that they're just guaranteed A's.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to do the work. They're right. All, you know, I got an A in the other class, so I should get an A in this class. Well, you have to put the time in and the work, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. I find that students are more arrogant now about things like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they're paying for it. So they just assume that they should get what they want.
Yeah. That's not the case, really. What about you had that little slip up there of instructor versus professor?
Because actually, when you're at the college, and sometimes university, they have what's called a sessional instructor. And basically, it's a person who's just, they'll either have experience in the background, mm-hmm. or they don't have a PhD, so they call them instructors. Or at the college, they have a person that's a full-time employee teaching. They actually call them professor, even if they don't have the PhD. Whereas at the university, they don't get called professor unless you have a PhD or a doctor.
Okay.
So if you're just a person that has like a master's degree and you're teaching a side job, they're just calling you an instructor.
Oh, so you're not actually a professor then, unless you have that title there at the end of your
name.
Well,
a lot of the instructors at the college, they actually get called professor even though they're not.
Hey folks, Big JD here from the Jabbercast. Don't miss Lippo and I Saturday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the All Talk Radio Network, alltalkradio.net.
Yeah. A person that has a PhD is actually a real professor.
Well, that's like I've been in physiotherapy for my shoulder, as probably everybody knows from the other shows. I had shoulder surgery in February, and at physiotherapy, a lot of the people in there refer to the physiotherapist as the doctor. They're not. Can I talk to the doctor for a second?
Yeah, they're not a doctor.
You know, is the doctor going to make me this type of plan, or, you know?
Whereas the chiropractor is a doctor. They actually go to a medical school.
Exactly. And the funny thing about the chiropractor being a doctor is a lot of people in that, in the, that are doctors, that are medical doctors and so forth, they have to be recognized as a doctor of chiropractic, but a lot of people don't look at them as a real doctor.
Right.
And it's kind of unfortunate, actually, because they're quite incredible. And that's a hands-on thing. Yeah. So do you become a chiropractor from college?
Most people that have
been... It's actually chiropractic college, isn't it? Not?
Yeah, it's in a separate school. Like, you go to university first, and you would probably go on to that.
Because it's hands-on.
You take biology. Actually, I think the only chiropractor school in Ontario is actually in Toronto.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So,
pharmacy too.
Pharmaceutical.
Yeah. You can only take pharmacy assistant at the St. Clair College. I don't think you can become a pharmacist in Windsor, actually.
And they're never called a pharmaceutical university or a chiropractic university. It's always college. They call them, eh? It seems, I think. Chiropractic college.
Yeah.
Seems that's what they're, yeah.
This is Phyllis and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
So then, I wonder if chiropractors ever feel like they're an inferior type of doctor in any way.
I don't know. Maybe the MDs look down at them. I don't look down on them. I think it's great. I've been to both. Physiotherapists are great too. I mean, it's two different type of injuries, right? Like a chiropractor will help you if you got a sore back and it needs to be adjusted, and obviously you need that.
But it's just that, I think that whole realm of homeopathic, you know, is just still kind of sneered upon and certainly shouldn't be. And
this is slowly becoming a Jabbercast.
Hey, the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. That's another show I co-host with Lippo.
And this is a different mic.
Yes, Mike Downs we're talking to today on economy, education, employment in the local Windsor and surrounding area. Not that this show, You Talking to Me, is necessarily all about local topics, but... this is a very interesting area of discussion,
yeah, it's
whether it's local or not.
Employment, unemployment, university. I mean, you can play that to any city. You know, it isn't just a phenomenon that's going on in Canada right now. Actually,
sure, some a little United better
States,
than others.
The United States is having a lot of problems with employment. So, you know, their jobs are going to the, you know, they used to call them what's called, I took it in school, it's called the small tigers or something like that. A lot of these countries, you know, like Korea and Taiwan, a lot of these countries are actually developing cars now. So, you know, they're competing.
Cars made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Actually, the college, when I took human resources, actually something, read an article. It's called The Global Worker. And they're talking about the competitive level that you need to get a job in the global world, not just your regional.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, I got a good education or something like that. I probably could leave town and get a job. But I mean, there is jobs here. It just seems it's more like nepotism or favoritism.
Hey folks, Big JD here from You Talking to Me. A different guest, a different topic every week on the All Talk Radio Network. Visit my website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me. youtalkingtome.ca.
What about educational costs for students and how does the taxpayer fit into that as far as the costs of education?
Well, the difference is the cost between the, that's probably why the universities are probably looked at so high on, is the university education and tuition is a lot higher than it would be at a college. It's actually probably double.
Extremely, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think you might pay $1,000 for a semester at St. Clair College, whereas maybe you might pay $3,000 at the University of Windsor.
Yeah.
And these little business colleges are, I think they're growing in popularity too, because a lot of people that go there are actually full-time employees and then they go take a night class there.
Right.
So in St. Clair College, they've always done that too, a continuing education, or they have what's a new thing they got. I think it's really neat. It's called a weekend college. You go 9 to 5 on Saturdays for about 4 weeks, and you basically squash a semester into 4 weeks. It's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I know some guys have done that with teaching people about how to do podcasts. And Max, I know yourself. I know we're not trying to plug people, but it's true.
I'm a professor. That's right. Lippo and I teach at, we're instructors at the local college, St. Clair College of Applied Arts and Technology.
Right. There's an example. So you guys would be considered instructors. It's not that they're looking down on you.
Wait a second. I'm a professor. Okay, continue.
No, but I'm just saying, I had an instructor at the, when I took human resources, and he actually wasn't an actual full-time instructor there as a professor, whatever you want to call it. He actually was a guy that worked in the business for 30, 40 years. He had his own business. He does have a degree in business, but he went back and decided to teach classes after he had his business had left town, or he had decided to close it, I think.
That's interesting as well. And we're just about out of time here for this little segment of the show. And we're going to take a break again. Once again, you're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on the All Talk Radio Network. We'll be back momentarily. Yes, Big JD here on You Talking to Me, the All Talk Radio Network. And I couldn't tell you exactly when the shows are going to be aired all the time because I don't know yet. You Talking to Me show is it's a new show for me. And I was happy to be asked to produce a show for the All Talk Radio Network. And I think you'll find a couple of shows on here that I'm hosting. I think we're going to stream the Jabbercast on here as well. That's the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. www.thejabbercast.com. You can check that out. And as well, you can check out the You Talking to Me website. That's www.talking, basically talking without the G, the number two, me. You Talking to Me.ca, actually. www.youtalkingtome.ca. We're going to continue on now with discussing employment. Let's talk about the job market and types of jobs maybe that are available that you've kind of come across. Some of the, or the, there are a lot of big, like the government jobs and things like that, or are there positions in a lot of these areas, or they seem to be kind of a close net of it's all who you know, maybe, or how does it all work?
Well, a lot of the government jobs now, they're trying to make it more fair because actually some politicians in Ottawa actually had gotten into trouble for, you know, pulling in their friends and stuff.
Right.
So actually they make you write exams now. You'll have a, you'll apply online and they'll post it for a limited time, say a week or two.
For a limited time only, you can apply for this local government job.
Yeah, and they probably tell their friends that it's available for those 2 weeks too. So then you go and write exams. I actually did it myself for maybe about 10 jobs and with the local government. I mean, everyone wants to get a government job, right? It's just like working for the big three. It's really good pay.
Yeah.
And what the difference is, big three, you're working in a factory and you're working, using your body. So it's actually pretty strenuous. So
right, yeah.
Everybody wants a government job, probably. Just like working for the fire department or the police or getting a job as a teacher. Those are really good paying jobs.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
But those seem to be few and far between, though, those kind of jobs.
Yeah. It's to get the good, high-paying job with the least amount of work. There's always usually the difficult ones to find, even the ones in the auto industry now. I mean, it's, you can look at it both ways. You look at it as strenuous, repetitive work. And then there's a lot of people that look at it and say, he does nothing all day. You know, the guy reads a newspaper all day. You know what I mean? But it's still, when you
obviously,
look at it overall.
The people that say that have never worked in those factories. I mean,
right, right.
You worked there. I worked there as a part-time person when I was in the student. I actually worked there full-time when I was a summer student, it was called. And that's a misconception about factories, actually. There isn't a lot of sitting around going on.
Yeah.
Not as much as they used to be anyways, because they're eliminating jobs every day.
That's right. Yeah. It's getting worse, getting harder. And how about how technology plays an important role for employment seekers? Technology as far as using the computer now, using the internet.
Yeah, it's a very important topic. I mean, years ago, if you wanted to look for a job, it was just in the Windsor Star, and all companies posted in the Windsor Star. Not a lot of companies posting in the Windsor Star anymore. A lot of those little service jobs, you know, hotel or hospitality, you know.
Right.
Bartender, waitress, those kind of jobs that no one really wants, or, you know, mostly college or university kids. In the past used to do. Now, you know, the average person probably ends up doing those jobs not because they want to, but because they have to.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, internet's huge, websites. A lot of these governments actually post job postings or job opportunities on their websites. You know, a lot of the two local hospitals actually do. The school boards actually both do. Fire department in the city, they actually have job postings there constantly. So they don't even, they know that people want to work for them because they're such a, you know, a good paying job. They don't even advertise half the time anymore.
Right, yeah.
So basically, it's up to you to go to visit their website regularly and look for jobs.
That's pretty good that a lot of companies and different employment companies are utilizing the internet. I think that's a pretty neat thing in itself as far as them using technology. But
I think it's more of a cost issue. It probably costs a lot more to run an ad in the Windsor Star rather than just having it on your website. And I actually talked to a person. I mean, I've been looking for jobs for quite a long time now. And you'll talk to people that actually work in personal agencies and that, and they'll actually say the reason they do advertise on their website rather than advertising is because this is kind of stupid, but they don't want too many resumes because they get flooded.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, if it's a good well-paying job, they might have 1,000 resumes come in for like two positions. I mean, that's insane for someone that works in human resources to go through.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make mention, is it possible that there's downfall to the technology? And that's kind of runs in line with what you're saying right there with them, so many people having so easy to send out your resumes online and approach a lot of the these employers, and they will get flooded with so many. So they have to.
What's interesting is when the internet first came out, and a lot of these jobs were being posted on the internet, it was easy just to email the actual human resources manager or whatever, and actually, you know,
just
push your resume
for the job or something.
Yeah,
you would
send an attachment, you know, Microsoft Word or Word Perfect, and they were getting flooded with that. So they actually sometimes, some people are going back to the old way where you just mail in your resume because, you know, it's a lot of work involved to actually print something out, put it in a mailbox,
right?
Put a stamp on it, send it out of town. Whereas, you know, email is instant. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it's great for the people looking to be employed, but not always great for the employer because, like you said, they can get flooded with so many people that, maybe their human resources area doesn't want to sift through all the people, but somehow they have to give everybody some type of a fair shot. What about employment scams? Advertised. There must be a lot of stuff that's around.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. There's good websites too. You know, there's Workopolis, there's Monster, there's Windsor JobSeek.
What are some of that? Monster.ca?
Yeah, that's the Canadian one. Right. Monster.com is obviously United States.
Okay, so yeah, both. And what are some of the other web addresses just for our listeners in case anybody wants to take a look at their...
A lot of the local ones actually have their own websites, like Express Personnel is one on Lozon Parkway.
Okay, so
they actually have their own websites, and they actually post jobs on there, and they'll have like Lucas Works is another one, Pro Staff.
Okay, so even if you're not in this local area, I mean, you can be listening, obviously, to the show from anywhere. Check with your local personnel.
Yeah, like personal agencies. Some of these personal agencies, another term they use in human resources, they call them headhunters.
Right.
They'll actually come looking for, you know, as well as I do in Windsor, there's a lot of people that are nurses, and they want to work in the state, so they actually have job fairs. You'll see them. Mm-hmm. Recently, they just had a job fair in Windsor because a lot of people are losing their jobs. Toyota was in Windsor recently, looking for a skilled labor, actually, because they know it's picking ground because everybody's out of work.
But what about now, as far as using the computer and everything like that to submit your resumes and so forth? What about the resume itself? You know, writing the resume as opposed to maybe the traditional resume.
Yeah, the styles have seemed to change all the time. That's another thing. There's a lot of websites are really good to visit, and they actually have tips on how to do resumes. The styles change all the time. I mean, cover letters came back maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. That I haven't seen cover letters in years. I talked to my parents, and they said that was really huge back in the 60s. You would summarize all your skills within a little paragraph or a page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as the scams go, yeah, there's a lot of different scams. You'll think it's a job, and you'll apply for it, and you'll go there, and it'll be a personnel agency, and they want you to deal with them first because they're the middleman.
Right, yeah.
And those things have... employment agencies have really popped up. I don't know if you've noticed that there's more and more every day in Windsor because high unemployment rate. And years ago, Human Resources Canada, they didn't just deal with handing out unemployment checks. They used to actually help people find jobs. Mm-hmm. But they became a swamp and they probably wanted to make cutbacks. So now they have employment agencies doing that.
Well, the whole thing, the economy, the education, employment, the whole thing's quite interesting. One last thing about you in particular, you have quite a high degree of education. You're still continuing your education. And... just from your point of view, I find it very interesting that it's difficult to find, you know, the job, especially the caliber job that you want and you probably should have with your education. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, most individuals, if you want to stay in your hometown, you end up taking a job that you probably don't like, and you probably end up getting stuck there. And
I mean, there's kids at high school and so forth that are having trouble getting jobs. You know, looking around at Tim Hortons and Starbucks and whatnot, but you have a high degree of education, and it's isn't that kind of ironic or kind of strange that
What's interesting is in sociology, you learn that how the baby boomers are all retiring, and how eventually that the competitive level is going to be probably less. So I actually told my brothers that their daughters will probably come out of high school and probably find the same kind of a job that a university student would probably need nowadays.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good services out there, though. I mean, there's a place called the Assessment Center, and then there's a Career Development Services, and they actually help people on how to do resumes and things like that. There's another organization called Women Helping Immigrant Women, because people coming to the country don't know the rules and the games and how to apply for jobs. I mean, we find it difficult. Can you imagine what they do?
Yeah, by all means, for you listeners, you check with your local newspapers and your local personnel agencies and your government websites and stuff, and you'll find a lot of the stuff that pertains to your local area as far as job searching and resume writing and all those things to help you find work. And the government sites, of course, to find information and statistics on the economy itself if you're so interested. And again, I'd like to thank Mike Downs for discussing these topics with us today. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. I'm not a huge expert in your field, but I mean, I've been doing job searches and I got the human resources background. And
yeah, I think you're well versed in the whole thing. And it was great to talk to you about your personal education and all that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate it. And it's been great having you on You Talking to Me. And our listeners can visit the site, www.youtalkingtome.ca. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest, every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. YouTalkingToMe.ca.